Columbia Morning on News Talk 1400 KFRU. Perhaps you've seen information around the area that University of Missouri is celebrating Canada Days, and we're privileged to have in the studio with us the Consul General in Chicago, who serves the broad region here in the Midwest, and especially northern Midwest. John Cruickshank is in the studio with me. It's nice to meet you. Welcome, sir. How are you?
Good morning, David. I'm great.
Let's jump into this part right away, and then we'll get into the nicer things. What's the relationship between the United States and Canada? How is it impacted by current administration policies?
Listen, any two countries that have as extensive connections as Canada and the U.S., and no other countries in the world do, are always going to run into road bumps, and we seem to be hitting a lot of road bumps right now. Having said that, you know, the deeper relationship is so profound that we'll get through this.
So I didn't realize, I think I was reading an article probably in the Missouri, and I think is where this was, and it was talking about the importance of trade, Missouri and Canada. How do you see that? Can you explain or summarize what that importance is?
Well, we are by far Missouri's biggest customers. We do $8.5 billion in trade back and forth between Canada and Missouri, and there's very much a large surplus for Missourians in this. Canadians buy about $5 billion worth of goods from here, and Missourians buy about $3.5 billion worth of goods from Canada. So, what that means is there are about 165,000 jobs, direct jobs, as a result of the trade with Canada.
Is it mostly agricultural trade? Is that what we're talking about?
Well, agricultural trade is really important. It's enormously significant for those farms, especially the family farms. But in fact, the biggest chunk of that is industrial goods, including cars and light trucks and all of the things that get produced in the state.
When we think of trade, and think of what you were talking about with some of the little ripples or perhaps bumps along the way in the relationship between the two countries, I guess my question, I've been thinking about this for a while, and I'm trying to think how to, I think it relates to this, is should we see Canadians as much different than we are, or just kind of they're in a different country, but they're a whole lot like we are north of the border? And the reason I'm asking that is because I don't think sometimes we think of ever having a bad relationship with Canada. I mean, I don't. I mean, I like Canada. I understand I have to go through certain things with a passport, or it's different than going into Minnesota, but it still seems to be something that it seems very comfortable. And I mean that as a compliment.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. And this relationship is one of such long standing. We do some things differently. Our forms of government are actually quite different in because we have a parliamentary system, and yet the bigger value that we have together is this commitment to democracy, and that's what joins us so firmly is the bigger values are ones that we share profoundly, and frankly there aren't many other nations in the world that do, or that frankly have been able to live their values in the way that the United States and Canada has. And so often together.
How is democracy different in a parliamentary form of government than it is in our form of government?
Well, we can have governments rise and fall very quickly. Mm-hmm. In a parliamentary system, if you don't have the confidence of the House, the government can go down. We have minority governments where you have a government that doesn't have enough votes without reliance on a third party, and we do have third parties, both in our provinces and at the federal level, the national level. So there are some real distinctions. We also have a system where we have question period, which means every day that Parliament sits, again at the provincial or the national level, the Prime Minister, the leader of the government and the leader of the party that's governing, and his senior members are forced to face questions from the opposition. So there's no place to hide in democracy in Canada.
Some would say that we have a minority government right now in this country, but that would be a different conversation. We're talking with John Cruickshank. He's Canada's Consul General in Chicago. What are you charged to do as a Consul General?
Well, my job is quite diverse. My territory, as you said, is Illinois, Wisconsin, and Missouri. And we do the first thing that a consulate does is make sure that Canadians who have lost their passports or run into some kind of trouble are looked after And we get them back to their homes and that kind of thing. And so that's the fundamental element for a consulate. In addition to that, we do a lot of work on trade and on facilitating investment into the United States, but most importantly for us, facilitating investment into Canada. And then in addition to that, we try and promote Canadian culture. We certainly try and promote some of the basic ideas that we think are valuable for all democracies. So we have a very strong set of values around the environment, around gender equality, around a progressive attitude towards labor. Those are the kinds of things that we spend a lot of time trying to talk to others about.
So was the consulate contacted by many people a year and a half ago? People threatened to do that. Did it happen in reality?
No, yeah, I mean, you hear a lot of that, and people joke about that. But it is at the level of humor.
Uh-huh.
No, we have not had an enormous stream of Americans coming north.
What worries you most? And we kind of talked about this a moment ago. I'm coming back to revisit this. When you said trade is a big part of what you do, what is the most concern? Is it tariffs? Is it other restrictions that might be placed on what has seemed to work smoothly in the past between the two countries?
I'll tell you, the concern for me is twofold. One is just the context of our relationship. You know, we've had NAFTA operating now for about a quarter century. And before that, we had a free trade agreement between our two countries. During that time, there's been this enormous expansion in trade between us. There's been huge growth, which has created, you know, there are about 8 million, 9 million jobs in the United States across the whole country that are as a result of their trade with Canada. And so it's a huge contribution that has been made by you know, the act we took to reduce tariffs to nothing in virtually every area. The growth that we've experienced between our countries is far greater than the growth that the United States has had with any other country outside the free trade agreement. So the notion that it's been a failure, I think, is a real problem, because we don't see it as a failure. We think actually it's been quite successful. So we're concerned about that because what's happened especially in the last 25 years is that companies across North America have started to think in continental terms, which is to say they've really tried to achieve efficiencies by trading, you know, amongst our countries, building things together rather than simply selling things to each other. And through that, they've created these efficiencies that have allowed them to be very competitive against other global competitors. So we think that this achievement, and this is the most competitive and efficient economic zone in the world, we think this is something to be treasured. Because it's been hugely valuable for creating really good middle-class jobs and working-class jobs for Americans and Canadians.
So when the Parliament has met over the last week or so, have the questions been, what are we going to do to the Prime Minister, or not to the Prime Minister, but have they asked the Prime Minister, what are we going to do, or do we need to do anything? What's our reaction to what's happening in the United States?
Well, you know, our Prime Minister has a really good relationship with your President. And I think the reason for that, it surprises some people because our Prime Minister is pretty progressive in a whole lot of areas, and your President is fairly conservative in some areas. But the fact is, they both got elected for the same reason. They got elected to increase middle-class jobs, to improve the economies and make sure people were better off at the end of their terms. So they really see eye to eye on a lot of things, and they communicate well. I know our Prime Minister has talked to the President a couple of times over the last couple of weeks about his concerns over NAFTA and about tariffs. And, you know, I think they've achieved a pretty good sense of how to move forward. But the other thing that we have done in a big way over this last year is establish contacts at the subnational level. We have a lot of relationships with governors and with legislators. Part of what I'm doing here during this week here is just to make sure that the legislators in Missouri really understand just how important the relationship between our country and the state is.
Seems like there has been reaction in Missouri from business owners and from big manufacturers saying that the tariffs could hurt business between Canada and Missouri. You were in Jefferson City. You told me before we got on the air yesterday. I'm curious, and you have such a good background in journalism. Are you able to put your finger on how chaotic the scene is there right now in our state capital? And yeah. How were you able to get the focus on what you were there to talk about?
Well, like I'm happy to say that my journalism hat I've set aside. I put my diplomat's hat on and not say anything about
chaos. Oh, but isn't it fun to think about
a
journalism, huh?
But what I was able to determine is people are really aware of how important this relationship is, and frankly, how harmful it would be to Missourians, to Missouri business, if we walked away from the partnerships that we have, because the integration is so great. Now, it especially in areas like steel and aluminum, for example, where the suggestion has been that tariffs might be coming our way, although they have now been at least delayed until mm-hmm. we resolve some of the issues around NAFTA. That just doesn't make any sense. Our steel and aluminum industries are integrated across the continent. Big businesses, you've got some big beer operations in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
They buy their aluminum from Canada. They then do all of the fabrication in the United States. They then send fabricated bottles back to, or fabricated cans back to Canada, off to Mexico. Everything is organized in a way that makes ultimate efficiency. Messing with that, they'll figure it out over time. But during that time, their business will suffer. Jobs will be lost. Profits will be reduced. Hardship will come that's unnecessary. And it's not in anybody's interest to create unnecessary hardship.
Do you see anything where we could improve trade by, and I'm talking certain products, do you say, well, this would be a market maybe for Canada to send to Missouri this, or Missouri might find a market in Canada for something else?
Smart people on both sides of the border are thinking about that all the time. What we can do, and frankly, what we're having some success at doing at the bargaining table over NAFTA right now is just making sure that border for commerce is as thin as it can possibly be. Harmonizing our standards in agriculture, for example, means that we can move goods across the border very, very quickly. And that's the kind of thing that we've been successful at in these negotiations.
Which way does the balance tip for those who are listening who might have not heard earlier? Who's benefiting more as far as when we're talking about a trade imbalance? Where is that, or is it even out pretty well?
Well, between Canada and the United States, the balance is remarkably even. And I just going by U.S. figures, U.S. has a very large surplus in manufactured goods sold to Canada. It has a surplus in services sold to Canadians. The deficit that the U.S. has with Canada, but it doesn't work out to an overall deficit, but the deficit is in the import of energy. So you buy oil from the oil sands in Alberta, and that makes a huge contribution, especially here in the Midwest.
Hmm. As we wrap this up, let's go to a little bit lighter. You miss Tim Hortons when you're you don't have one of those on every corner here. Is that like you're saying, where's the Tim Horton?
Well, I think Tim Hortons is an innovation that would do very well in the United States.
I think we've got plenty of those kinds of things here, but anybody who's been to Canada knows you got to have one of those. I mean, there is right at the border saying, welcome
we
to
have
Canada.
A
here's
deep
Tim Hortons.
Identification with Tim Hortons.
So, are you appointed for a certain amount of time, or how do you serve at the pleasure of whom and for how long?
Yes, I'm here for 4 years. I'm almost a year in. I've been appointed by the government, and I'm here as long as they want me here, and not a moment longer.
Will you turn back to journalism after this?
I don't know. I will certainly never entirely leave journalism. I expect that I'll get back in one way or another. But I'm not looking beyond what I'm doing right now, because this is so extraordinarily absorbing.
You sure don't want me to ask you any questions about journalism, but I got to ask you another question about journalism. How is it done differently in Canada than it is here, if at all?
The standards are very similar. I think what we see here that we don't have to the same extent in Canada is the power of your cable news shows. And the extraordinary polarization of your cable news shows. And while they don't lead in reporting, they certainly lead in opinion making. That has never grown to the same extent in Canada. And so one of the, I think one of the benefits of that from the Canadian perspective is that the deeper reporting that newspapers are doing is still has a more powerful impact.
Yeah, I like the newspapers. I like them a lot. And I'm
we're showing our age, though.
Yeah, I know we are showing our age, but I think they're an important thing that we need to save and we need to protect. Are they reading printed newspapers in Canada or going towards the electronic newspapers, online newspapers more?
You know, digital news has been expanding for 25 years, and is enormously important, especially for younger readers. Although what you find is it's the same people who are reading newspapers, reading online, reading on Twitter, and they become super users. Mm-hmm. There's some people who are you know, really on the ball.
I really appreciate you coming in and taking the time to talk with us. Leave us with your opinion about what's our most incorrect preconceived notion about Canada or Canadians. Do we have any? We think of you all as always being nice, as always being friendly, of being just real easygoing country and people.
Well, gosh, that's the way we feel about Midwesterners.
Well, that's good. Yeah. That's something we would share together.
Yeah,
then
I think we have a lot of common characteristics. Listen, the misconception that we point out most often in my household is my wife goes crazy when she hears the newscast or the weathercasters on U.S. television saying, here's another bad weather front coming down from Canada.
The Canadian low pressure
is coming
down.
Don't blame us for the weather. Gosh, that's not fair.
It's not your fault that you just happen to be north of us where all the cold weather comes down. Well, continued enjoyment of your visit here. I don't know whether you've ever been to Mid-Missouri before.
This is my first time, and it's a revelation.
Really? What's being revealed to you? I mean, it's not that much different than I would say parts of Canada. Maybe our winter is not quite as severe as it would be in some places.
No, I think that's right. It's just I wasn't aware of just how beautiful this part of the world is. I'm looking forward to coming back later in the spring, in the summer. See it when the flowers are blooming and the trees are out.
Well, you're right on the verge of that now. We have a lot of the green is coming up to the ground, daffodils and tulips and all kinds of other spring flowers. So pleasure to meet you. Thank you for being here today, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much.
He is Canada's consul general based in Chicago, covers several states in the Midwest, including Missouri, and he's here for MU's Canada Days. John Cruikshank has been our guest. This is KFRU.